The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. You must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to the BS Report. It's Sunday, Monday here in Southern California. We are taping this a little bit later today. I was working on day two of my 12 days of NBA Christmas, which you can read at Grantland.com. I'm trying to dissect every possible NBA transaction that's either going to happen, might happen, should happen, etc. On the phone right now by cell phone, we had to change up our process a little bit. Our friend Cousin Sal, what's happening?
What's going on there, Billy Boy?
I don't know. Did your team play yesterday?
For most of the game, no, I would say. Our coach showed up, though, which is a problem.
Yeah,
I don't know what to do about this Jason Garrett. I really, really, really bums me out. Like, I'm still upset about this.
All right, let's just walk through it quickly. Everybody knows the details, but you get first down. You're at, like, the 32, 30 seconds left, followed by Romo ticked off how many seconds there?
I think Dez made the big catch at 26 seconds left. And then and then they have to run down the field, and he spikes it at 14 or 11. Can't remember anymore.
Yeah, I think it was a little closer to like 8 or 9. But you had two timeouts left.
Two timeouts. We never ended up using any timeouts. The first one we had to use by accident, but, and you know what, like, all right, so afterwards, I don't even know where to start with this, but, and I blame Joe Meade and Marv Levy for this, because I think Marv Levy started this epidemic around the NFL where coaches are fine with letting their kickers kick, like, right on the edge of their range on the road in big spots and not gaining extra yards to set up, you know, for a closer shot, and it's just a disaster every time. And the worst part is, like, he didn't apologize for it. I mean, then he ices his own kicker, which is, I don't even understand that at all, but he doesn't apologize. He said he would do it again. He actually said, this is what happens in situations like that. More times than not, a running back will lose yards, and we don't want that. Like, no, that doesn't happen more times than not. You know what happens more times than not? A dozen times you'll see on a Sunday a kicker try a 50-yard field goal and miss. You just don't do that to your kicker. He's on the road. He's a rookie. He's already missed one. Like, what is going on through his head? I mean, cut me off here. I don't even know what to say.
I don't know what to tell you. So you had – I'm looking at the play-by-play sheet. It says you had 3rd and 11, Dez Bryant pass to Arizona's 31. And
right.
Then Tony Romo spiked the ball to stop the clock with 7 seconds left. Then a timeout.
Then
he didn't
timeout.
Run another play.
There was a timeout. We iced our own kicker.
But then you still. So really, you could have called a timeout like 26 seconds left and run at least one or two plays to try to get closer. Which just logic would say with the rookie kicker that might be a decent idea. It felt like you were going to lose that game.
On Thanksgiving, with one timeout, we ran Murray. We got 9 yards to get closer for the Bailey field goal. So I don't know what he's talking about with the negative yards. But but to me, they're not apologizing for it is worse than anything. Like, this is a team that's involved in close games every single week. This is going to happen 3 more times from now to the end of the year. And to know that he's not going to make adjustments is sickening. That's it.
Well, I mean, I guess the only silver lining is that it always felt like you were going to lose that game as I was watching it.
Yeah.
And we said last Monday you were going to probably lose that game and that there's a weird Arizona-Dallas thing, and this just kind of fed into that.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if we're unlucky or a lucky team. I mean, we're a 9-7 team anyway, if you really look at it. But, you know, those losses to Detroit and the Jets and New England were atrocious. But we've gotten lucky in the last 5 weeks or so. So I don't know. Maybe we were owed that. But, I mean, this guy just does not know what he's doing. Let me ask you this. If it's 4th and 3 from the 39-yard line, the opponent's 39, what do you do? No matter what you end up doing, what do you do? If you're going to punt.
What time of the game is it?
I don't care if it's the first quarter, if it's overtime. You have to bring your starting unit out to at least try to draw the team off sides, right?
Yes. Like, I would go for it, but at least do that.
I would go for it too, but if you're going to punt, you have to bring the guys out to draw the. I mean, so many guys are jumpy on the defensive end nowadays.
Yeah.
Try to get them to jump off sides and then punt from the 45. I mean, just these little things. Like, look, just some guys are better as coordinators. Look at Wade Phillips. Look what he's doing in Houston now. He's just a better coordinator. That's all. He should just admit that next time.
Maybe the mistake was you should add Wade Phillips in charge of your defense, Jason Garrett in charge of your offense, and then just some 78-year-old smart guy just basically making seven decisions a game.
Or an 8-year-old. Either way, I don't care.
Sal. Bad news. That was a really good rant, but Jason Garrett had called timeout. You're going to have to do that over again.
Shut your mouth right now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm waiting for him next week to challenge a play that went our way on the field. like to throw the red flag for something that went our way and just try to reverse it. I don't know what that would expect with
it. That'd be pretty good. So you still have a game lead in the division, right?
Yeah. But I'm starting to buy into this December stuff where we just tank every December, and November's when we get hot because it's weird. I mean, the Giants are – I'm going to the game, and it's against the Giants. It would have been for the division had we won yesterday, but, God, I don't see us stopping Hakeem Nicks. Like, I think they'll pass all over us. We have a lot of problems next week.
You don't think you can split the two Giants games?
I think it's tough. Like, whenever they come to Dallas, it's a messed up game. And right now, our secondary is not ready for Eli Manning. And, Romo got sacked 5 times by the cruddy Cardinals, the blitzing schemes. There's a lot to worry about in this game.
I maintain that the Cardinals aren't terrible. I really don't think they're that bad, especially at home. I think they're a decent home team. But, you know, you're in a situation now. It's pretty weird. Somebody sent me this email and said, do you realize that like if three things happen, Seattle could run the slate and be the last wild card team? And I was like, get out of here.
Yeah.
I looked it up and it's like, oh yeah, they could go 9-7 and be the wild card team. And same for Arizona.
You look at Detroit, Atlanta, and I guess Chicago, and either Dallas or Giants. Those are the four main competitors for the wild card. I don't think any of those teams get to 10 wins. I think there's 2 9-7 wild cards in the NFC.
Yeah, and the other thing to remember is the Lions have enough talent to definitely be a wild card, but there's something so funky going on with that team. It's just from a discipline standpoint, from a maturity standpoint, it's looked wrong for this entire season. And if any team is going to underachieve, it's that team. And then you look at the Bears, who they lose Cutler and Forte. I don't see how you bounce back from that. They could barely get the ball over like the 40-yard line yesterday, and it wasn't like they're going against the 85 Bears, no pun intended. But you're going to see a 9-7 team. This crappy Atlanta team is probably going to make the playoffs, which really makes me mad. Who knows? I don't know. I don't know what to make of it, but I do know that I'm excited for round one because, if Atlanta makes it, I just don't think Atlanta's good. I would love to see them get the 5 wild card, the number 5 spot, the top wild card, and then be able to pick against them in round one against whoever the home team is. I just don't think they have it. What do you think?
Yeah, I know. I don't think they offensively, I don't know what happened. Like, they can't go to Turner anymore. Roddy White and Julio Jones, they're they make big plays once in a while, but they're too inconsistent, and Ryan doesn't seem to be in sync with any of them. I mean, you could score 20 and beat them. I don't know what happened to them, really.
It would be interesting. The upside team is the Lions. And, if they got their crap together, they're still 7-5. If they got their crap together and somehow ended up at 10 wins in that 5th wild card spot, and now they're coming into either Dallas or the Giants from round one. I mean, you wouldn't be happy to see them in round one, right? Assuming they kind of worked their stuff out a little bit.
I just got off the phone with a buddy, and I said that's our goal. Even though four seed means you play the Packers in the second round, if the Cowboys get the four seed, win the division, I want the Lions to come to us. We want to pay them. I want to pay them back. And I think they're garbage. They're a bunch of thugs anyway. They're just like they put helmets on the Cobra Kai now. Like that, really? They're so undisciplined. It's a mess.
Well, I have a newsflash for you. You're going to be the four seed if you win the division. So.
Yeah.
You're not getting the three.
We don't think we get the wild card?
Oh, yeah. I'm saying if you win the division, you'll be the four seed. Yeah. And I think, it's too bad the Giants and Dallas have to play each other twice, because it does feel like those are probably the fourth and fifth best teams in the conference. And I don't see how both of them can make it unless the Giants win both of the Dallas games and then you win your other two or some sort of weird scenario. Anyway, really weird year. And then you go to the AFC, who do you like out of these potential six seeds? The Jets, Cincinnati, Tennessee, or Oakland? I don't like any of those teams.
You don't like to make them or just to do anything once they make the playoffs?
Yeah, I'm saying as your six seed in round one, I don't like one of those teams.
Here's who it's going to be. I'll tell you who it's going to be. It's going to be the Tennessee Titans, because a couple weeks ago we bet that Tennessee would not make the playoffs. And who would have known that's what lit the fire under Chris Johnson's ass all these weeks. So.
Yeah, they go. So they're home for New Orleans next week. I think that's a loss. Really?
Really?
You think they win? You think they beat New Orleans?
I think. Well, you think New Orleans has turned the corner, or are they just still the second greatest show on turf team where they win all their games handily at home?
Yeah, you're probably right.
I think that's a tough game.
Oh, God. And then they have at Indianapolis, that's a win, home for Jacksonville, and then at Houston. So they really could get to 10 wins.
They could have 9 or 10. Yeah.
Well, what do we have from the Jets here? Hold on. Let me look at the Jets really quickly. The Jets are 7-5.
No, they're home against the Chiefs, and I know they have the Giants.
Home for the Chiefs, at Philly, home for the Giants, at Miami. Suddenly a brutal game. They're going to be getting points in Miami. Miami, the best 4-8 team of all time.
Miami is one of probably three teams I would not want to play right now. Maybe two. Green Bay, Miami. I think that's how I put it right now.
I'd like to thank Miami. I'd like to thank Tony Sperano and Reggie Bush and everybody for it's been a joy to gamble on them these past few weeks and ride the improbable train toward 8-8. And by the way, I think we have a bet on them for the under for 7.5 wins that we put a lot of money on, if I remember correctly.
I have that written down. I was just going to say that to you, and I'm terrified that that's going to lose. Really, let's start hedging, please. If there was ever a time to hedge, let's do that.
Matt Moore. We might have either Matt Moore or Tim Tebow as people voted into the Pro Bowl without ever somebody backing out of the Pro Bowl. Like, those might actually be AFC Pro Bowl quarterbacks.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I could see that.
Brady, Roethlisberger, who's the third?
For the AFC?
Yeah.
Brady, Roethlisberger, probably Orlovsky after how he played yesterday. maybe Joe Flacco. He usually gets the nod, doesn't he?
Oh, screw Joe Flacco. Miami's got their home for Philly this week, at Buffalo, at New England, and that game might be nothing for New England. They might just be locked into whatever seed at that point, and then home for the Jets. So, yeah, we're in trouble with that. Before we get to the Week 14 Lions, Tebow, are you ready to back off on Tebow? Are you ready to just admit that the Tebow fans were right?
No, I'm not going to do that. We want to talk about this now because I know you have a surprise at the end of the podcast.
You can give me a quick hitter. You're still not sold on him. You have to admit he played a fantastic second through fourth quarter in that game.
Second through fourth. They had one first down at halftime.
He hit a fantastic second half.
He threw to his first touchdown. The guy was wide open.
Yeah,
I don't know what happened. And the second touchdown, it was a screen pass that should have gone for 7 yards, and it went for 40. So, listen, my cardiologist said I shouldn't discuss Tim Tebow. I feel like there's like a hidden camera on me, and I'm the only guy who seems to have a problem with this kid. I don't know what's going on.
Question. Denver needs the two-point conversion on the road. I forget how much time was left, like 8 minutes, whatever.
Stupid.
Did you was there any doubt in your mind Tim Tebow was running the ball in, and was there any doubt in your mind he was getting the 2 point?
No, and that's twice that he's done it and been like untouched. Like it drives you a little nuts, right? That like the surprise to all 11 guys that no one touches him. Who did he do it against? Miami. He tied Miami, right? And that's probably the flaw.
Drives you a little nuts, or makes you think something magical is happening here?
No,
I don't know.
No. You know what's magical? That he benefits off of pick six every game. There are interceptions deep into their territory where he can. I don't like it. I don't know. I will say this: he at least resembled an NFL quarterback, like you said, in the third quarter on. I had to look a few times, but he's not.
It's like Willis McGahee said last week. You know, people can keep doubting us all we want. All we know is if it's a close game at the end, we're going to win it. When a football team starts thinking that way, that reminds me of the 0-1 Pats a little bit. Just saying.
I think these guys are just being nice. I think McGahee and the defense, I think they hate Tim Tebow. I think they think he's getting too much credit. I'll tell you, the Jewish players on the team must hate him.
Oh.
The 13, 14 Jewish players. I'm sure they don't like him.
You can make that joke because you're half Jewish. I couldn't make that joke. Yeah. You know, here's the thing with Tebow and with all religious figures. Part of what makes them what the special people that they become are the doubters. And the doubters, they just take all the doubt and they feed off it, and it makes them even greater and more magical. And I think we're watching that now with Tim Tebow.
Yeah, good for you. Well, listen, I should get this out of the way because you were at the game yesterday and you called me. Rooting your boy on.
I was?
Yeah, you left me a message. It's bizarre because it started off, well, I'll just play it for you here. Let me play it.
Cousin Sal, sports guy calling you. I'm here in Minnesota watching my boyfriend Tim Tebow play live. He left me a ticket, and then we're going to meet up later after the game at the Mall of America. Probably visit Brookstone so we could spoon each other on a new deluxe home theater recliner. Kind of vibrates. Anyway, I can't stand these Vikings fans making fun of my Timmy Tater Tot Twizzler tongue. You should have heard some of the vicious things they were saying. Things like, Tim Tebow's passes are so ugly they make onions cry. And Tim Tebow's passes are so ugly when they go to the psychiatrist he makes them lay on the couch face down. And Tim Tebow's passes are so ugly when they pass by a bathroom the toilet flushes. And Tim Tebow's passes are so ugly when they moved into the projects, all the neighbors chipped in for curtains. Well, I wasn't going to let them get away with that. So you know what I did? I got up, I stared at these fans like I was really, really mad, and I walked out of the stadium. And now I'm walking by a sports bar. And what's this? Timmy Twinkletoes just tied the game with a two-point conversion, and now the Vikings just turned it over? And now Tim's driving the Broncos down the field for a game-winning field goal attempt? I can't believe how fast this is all happening. And the kick is up. It's good. He did it. The Broncos win again. Thank you, Lord, for inexplicably caring about my boyfriend more than malaria victims in Mozambique. I'm off to celebrate. Now, excuse me, Cousin Sal. I break down the Denver locker room door with my giant T-bone. Sports guy, over and out. Pearl Jam.
That was something.
Hey, while we were listening to that message, news broke. There's breaking news, Sal. Brett Favre has said, he's told sources, according to ESPN, that that he would listen if the Chicago Bears called him.
It's getting
I'm both laughing.
Where...
I mean, he's better than Caleb Haney. I don't care if he's been sitting in a trailer drinking malt 40s for the last 6 months. He's got to be better than Caleb Haney.
Listen. I cannot deal with Brett Favre and Tim Tebow playing on the same day. I just can't. I can't do it. There's too much hatred for me for that.
Do you think?
I can't do it.
I don't think the Bears fans would be okay with this.
No, they shouldn't be. At some point, there's got to be like, oh, that's our rival. I don't ever want him to play for us, right? I mean, enough. Sign.
I would rather. Yeah, I would rather sign Donovan McNabb and just urge him to go on a lower carb diet. That would be my move. Just be like, Donovan, can you get down to 280 pounds, do you think? What are the odds? Can you eat three times a day instead of seven?
Disregard, don't eat any of the great food Chicago has to offer, but we need you to come out here.
You know those deep dish pizzas, Donovan? Just stay away, please, for the love of God. Yeah. We'll give you a bonus for every day you stay away from a deep dish pizza. He's so fat. I joked about this on Twitter the other day. I mean, when you're growing that neck beard, like extra bushy to cover the neck fat, that's when you're really fat. I mean, that's when it's like the last frontier of hiding how fat you are.
Donovan McFlab. I like it. Yeah, bring him in. Bring him in.
He was out of shape 7 years ago. All right, let's do the lines.
All right, let's do it. Thursday night, Cleveland at Pittsburgh. What is? Now, you're up. Let me just preview. You're up 8 weeks to 5 weeks. You've been killing me lately. I think I was up 5-4, so you won all of November.
Now, I'm like the Saints. I heat up in November. Cleveland at Pittsburgh. I think Cleveland took a step back for me in yesterday's game because I kind of thought they were maybe like legitimately mediocre, like a poor man's version of the Dolphins, and they're not. It's just too hard for them to move the ball. So I'm going to say Steelers by 12.5.
Yeah, I should have gone higher here too. I went 11.5, and it's 14 actually. They're not giving this one away for free.
Yeah,
but it'll be nice for us to get the first leg of a three-team teaser out of the way Thursday night, right?
Yeah,
Pittsburgh -4.
Absolutely.
Sunday now, Indy at Baltimore.
Ooh, that's gonna be another high one, Sal.
Yeah.
You know, we should mention Dan Orlovsky with the double backdoor cover in the last 5 minutes there yesterday. It was pretty impressive. Down 31-3, and Orlovsky he would not be denied.
I think Caldwell should win Coach of the Year for not putting, I don't know how he knew, but for not putting Orlovsky in to start the year because that totally would have blown the first draft pick, right? I mean, they would have two or three wins, don't you think?
I got an interesting email from a reader, and I don't remember what his name was, but he said that what would happen if Manning came back for the final three games, specifically to throw his body in front of them getting the number one pick? What would they say?
Wow.
What would he say if he's ready? Manning says, I'm ready for week 15. I want to play. I need the reps for next season. What do they do?
They would have to say no. I think they have to let it play out. They would find a when he went to pass the physical. Like, no, I'm saying, look, your neck is fine, but you have tuberculosis, so you can't play.
We need more tests. There's some signs of a rare tumor that hasn't even been diagnosed yet, but we're gonna need to look at this. Sorry.
I wouldn't mind if he came back for the last game, just to, like if they had the number one pick locked up, but he wanted to save the city the embarrassment of going 0-16. I don't even know if they play New England the last game. No, they played somebody
terrible. I have them getting 16.5 points in Baltimore.
All right. I said 17.5. It's only 15. So I think that should have been higher.
I win that one, too. I think that gets to 17.
Yeah, probably. Ray Rice is heating up, though. That's the one you don't want to play.
Yep.
I didn't tell you this, but I bet New England -7.5 in the second half yesterday. I was like, they're going to kill them. And then, like, they quickly scored 14 points to score and start the third quarter. And I was like, I'm, like, congratulating myself. I'm like, I am so good at betting. Everyone else is an idiot for not jumping on free money. And then and the Colts were onside kick away from possibly tying the game.
I had a couple classic bets yesterday. I parlayed the Broncos, Panthers, and Texans with the Chicago money line, and the Bears killed me. It was like 7.5-1, and then the other one was I had that same parlay, but instead of the Bears, I had the Cardinals money line, and that was like 20-1, and that one actually won. So thank you to the Cardinals. I had the Panthers, to score the most points yesterday, 20-1. They had 38. If the Giants missed that 2-point, I would have won. And instead, I don't even know what happens under that circumstance. What happens if you tie with another team?
I think you get half the odds.
Half that. But that 2-point cost me half of that.
You know what we didn't do? we disregard our own advice. So that Detroit-New Orleans game, that was perfect for a lot of points, and we should have bet Stafford for most passing yards. I think he was like 12-1 or something. Like
yeah.
That's ideal with a bad team, or you know, the team that's going to be losing, trying to play catch-up.
In our fantasy league, it's between me and Hench for the last playoff spot, and he needed 17.8 points from Vincent Jackson tonight. And
love it.
I could have put it away in the last 5 minutes of garbage time of that game yesterday, but somehow Nate Burleson got called for three push-offs. You see three push-offs a year. He got called for three in the fourth quarter. Every time it was like a 30-yard pass, it got called back. So now Vincent Jackson is in range to knock me out of the playoffs. Now I have to sweat this. It's actually a secretly good sports night tonight because there's that game that has all these fantasy implications because everybody's playoffs start next week. And then Sal, Penguins Bruins tonight. Huge game. Big hockey
game.
Oh,
you're excited about this. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The Bees are like probably playing as well as I've ever seen a Bruins team play. I wasn't alive for the 1970. I was barely alive for the 1971 team, but a nice pass from the Bees tonight.
Your beloved LA Kings?
No, that's not my beloved. That's my daughter's, unfortunately. She has a jersey now. I forgot to. Did I tell you this?
What did you say? Who does she want?
She has a jersey now. She wears it. We went Saturday. She wore a jersey. She wore a Kings jersey to the game. I couldn't win this one, Sal.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's
really?
Not good. Yeah,
that's
not good.
Yeah, you have to give them an LA team to root for. It's not, you know. They're just going to hate you when they
come
up, you know?
That's what I'm thinking. And
yeah.
It really is the best sport for little kids, too. Because it's like,
yeah.
You know, you don't really have to know what's going on. There's just people skating around and bumping into each other. When a goal happens, everybody gets all excited. You high-five everyone in your section. There's loud music. There's long period breaks. Like, it's perfect. It's the perfect sport for kids.
The Zamboni's still mesmerizing. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Zamboni, the Ice Girls, the Kiss Cam. There's just a lot going on. They get their money's worth, or my money's worth. Anyway.
New England at Washington.
Ooh. I knew Rex didn't have three good games in him.
Everyone had the Skins as their upset yesterday. Everyone had the Skins and the Packers. Early in the week, everyone just went crazy on the Packers.
I have the Pats giving 8.5 points in Washington.
Wow, did I actually win one? I said 7, and it's 7.5.
Oh, you did win one.
Yeah. All right, so we two-team tease that with something.
Unless well, did you see what happened with the Redskins, though?
No, I don't know. What happened?
It looks like they're not going to have their best tackle, their left tackle, Trent Williams, and their number one receiving threat, Fred Davis, because both allegedly failed performance enhancer tests.
Right. They're going to be gone for a while.
Four games, including this one.
Season. Wow. Yeah, this is a win for you guys.
That's a nice one for us. Those are two nice guys to take out of that lineup.
Let me ask you this. Do you ever remember a tight end being drafted in the first round of a fantasy draft?
No. You think that's going to happen with Gronkowski?
Oh, how could you let him go past the first round? I mean, this guy's amazing. He's going to have a dozen touchdowns every year, I think, if he stays healthy. Don't you?
Well, and then they gave the third one he had yesterday turned out to be a running touchdown because they actually threw the ball backwards, which was a shame.
Yeah, if you're in a points-per-run league where tight ends get 30 points per run, this is your guy.
Yeah, that's a big one for you.
If I'm in a 12-team league, I take him like 11th or 12th.
I was kind of kicking myself that I didn't lay the 21 points of the Pats yesterday. How hard must it be to get up for a home game against a team that you're four times as good as? Like, how many times do we have to see the team sleep, you know, do just enough to put the game away and then just fall asleep completely? This is the last time I'm laying that many points.
Do you think, I know, I had it too, and then took it again at halftime, but do you think there's like an unwritten rule, like when a pitcher pitches to another pitcher, like, I'm not going to give you my best stuff. This is embarrassing enough. Your favorite, you know, you're underdog by 20.5 points. Just, you know, just don't try to beat us, and we'll keep you in the game.
Well, there's another factor. And I think Belichick's smart enough to do this. you don't, you go vanilla for that game, right? You don't want to give away one special play, formation, anything that might help you against when you play a really good team. So you just, you're basically playing vanilla for four quarters. Then as soon as you get a big enough lead, you're in that mode where you don't want anyone to get hurt. You don't want anybody flying around. And I think, you know, at the very least, we should.
You don't want anyone covering Pierre Garçon.
You want to leave him alone completely. You want to, so anyway.
All right. New Orleans at Tennessee. We touched on this a little bit.
Yeah, you're right. You know what? You're right that this is a sneaky game for the Saints. I have them, it's either 3.5 or 4, and I have them giving 4 points in Tennessee.
All right. I had 3, and I thought that was plenty, and it's 5.5.
Whoa! That's too high.
Yeah, that's high. They're, I don't think the Saints don't really need this game. I mean, they don't play well in games they don't need. They have a 2-game lead on Atlanta. They're going to win the rest of the way.
Doug, the Saints do not need this game. They do not need this game, Doug.
I mean, you're going to Tennessee. You're going to go check out the Country Music Hall of Fame and hope you don't embarrass yourself on the field, right, Mike?
Yeah, it's true. They really so they have a 2-game lead over Atlanta. This is a non-conference game. They're 6-3 in the conference. They're 3-1 in their own division. Like, yeah, you're right. If there's ever a game that you kind of let up on, this is it.
This is it. And Chris Johnson's starting to catch fire. I had him. He was 20-1 again to lead the NFL in rushing this weekend. And up until about 5:45 Eastern, he had it locked up. And then Ray Rice went crazy. But,
well, we had a situation in our fantasy league. Our friend Tony traded A.J. Green for Chris Johnson, basically. And he did it with a team that I think was 1-6 or 1-7 at the time. And the only reason nobody raised a stink about it was because A.J. Green's good and it was a fair trade. But now Tony's going to make the playoffs. And basically, because Chris Johnson. You don't think he is?
He needs 37 points out of Rivers tonight. So I don't think he's going to make it.
All right. Yeah,
but
that's not doable. But
help,
I was thinking maybe there should be a rule. If you're 5 games or more under 500 at any point in a fantasy league, you can no longer make a trade.
Well, I do like that rule, but in our stupid league, we make the last place team pay for the banquet at the end of the season, so they do kind of have to help themselves.
Yeah, but the banquet's at Shakey's Pizza. It's not like they're throwing it at the Wolfgang Puck restaurant or something.
Yeah, but you hate the guy who's going to have to pay for it. I mean,
I don't hate anybody.
Pour pitchers of beer in the toilet.
That is true. That is true. I might order a lot of food, and I might have whatever mixed liquor they have or they're serving, I might order. I only hate him because he voted out John Hamm, who was the coolest guy in our league. Like, you can't vote out you can't vote out the coolest guy in the league. Vote out, like, the second coolest guy. Don't vote out the guy who's, like, the Hollywood star.
Our league's a mess. KC at the Jets.
Man, you know, I had the Jets by 8.5, and I like the Chiefs.
Oh, man. I had 7.5. I thought that was good enough. It's 9, so you get that. You're a 4-1.
Yeah. Although, Tyler Palco.
Well, listen. Now we know what the Chiefs are practicing, and it's the only thing they're good at. It's, Urlacher slammed that ball down, and McCluster was 4 inches from his face and caught it. And then the same thing basically happened when the Bears are going to score at the end. Roy Williams is just a disaster off his hands and interception in the end zone, not even at the one. So that's what the Chiefs do. They practice that batting ball down stuff.
I'm glad you brought this up.
Yeah,
I think it's time for us to stop batting Hail Marys down. What about batting them backwards?
Back, yes. I said the same thing yesterday.
Run up there and hit them backwards.
Try to get it in the goalpost. I agree.
What is every time? It seems like one out of every 10 times when somebody bats down a Hail Mary, there's a guy lying underneath who either catches it or almost catches it.
Well, yeah. I mean, just logically speaking, there's nobody in a red uniform behind you, and there's 9 guys in red uniforms in front of you. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Pat it into the first row.
I'd like to see, like, a sports science show where scientists try to accurately figure out exactly what the best strategy would be to knock the ball down? Because I don't know what it is. My assumption is that it would be knocking it backwards.
They did studies on this. The best strategy is to ice your own kicker, and then everything else is just 50-50. Oh, good God.
Yeah.
Joe Mead, you find Philly at Miami?
Yeah, I found a couple lines.
Hold on, let me guess it.
Don't say anything yet.
Many of the books don't have them, so some of these might just be from offshore, but this is what Vegas Insider has.
Sal, I guess Dolphins by 5.5.
All right, I said 3.5. Joe?
Looks like it's 3.
Oh.
All right.
Oh, please, Lord, let that be the case. Can we really make more money on the Dolphins? How much money could this team make?
I know. Well,
God.
I don't even care if Vic comes back. This is not the team he wants to play coming back.
No.
They're a disaster, those Eagles.
The Dolphins, I had them in fantasy yesterday. They had the shutout going, and then the score was like 34-0, and they went in a prevent. And that's when Carson Palmer really comes alive, when he's down 34.
Oh, yeah.
He was terrible in that game, and they beat the crap out of him, and he made terrible throws, and it was exactly the Palmer that we were expecting. So.
Anyway. That's the guy, and he'll be playing for a division crown the last week of the year, which makes it even sadder.
Somehow.
Atlanta, Carolina.
Atlanta, Carolina, this is the easiest pick on the board. The Atlanta Falcons by 3.5 points.
Well, what? Yeah. I mean, you're going to get it because it's 2.5.
Oh.
I had Carolina -1.
Oh.
Atlanta, I know they have 3 games on them, but is Atlanta better at this point?
Well, Carolina's defense stinks. Even yesterday, Tampa had that Josh Johnson, but they had the ball that whole game. Mainly because Carolina kept scoring, but they did have like long drives. They just kept kicking field goals. Carolina's defense stinks.
If your defense stinks, Atlanta's the team you want to play right now, I think.
True. It's an upset special. There's no question.
Could be good. All right, Joe, anything on Houston at Cincy?
Yeah, I got a line for that as well.
Oh, beautiful.
All right, what do you think, Simmons?
I have Cincy by 2.5.
I said 3.
Everybody's got 3.
Oh, my God. I'm 0-2 with Joe Mead.
This is how we're going to have to do it from now on.
No.
All right.
I like the old way.
All right. 5-3, you're up. Minnesota, Detroit, and I hit this dead on. So.
You did? Minnesota at Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
I have the Detroit Lions by 8.5 points.
Too high. 7 points.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know if I agree with that.
This could be another upset.
Yeah.
Another one.
This seemed like the Lions.
Were you really hoping when they shook hands after the game, like Sean Payton would, you know, he'd shake Jim Schwartz's hand, and then like pro wrestling, he would turn away and crack him over the head with his crutch? That's about 68,000 plus on their feet.
Yeah, wrestling never incorporates either crutches or hand casts enough. Iron Mike Sharp had an arm cast for 10 years, and it was always a source of material.
Yeah, well, Cowboy Bob Orton, too.
he's another one.
Just an injury.
Yeah, I think, by the way, I'm convinced that Peyton could easily walk around, and the crutches thing, I think he's milking at this point.
They showed him once, and it looked like he was about to sprint to midfield, and then I think he saw that the camera was on him, and he, like, limped back, right? It was weird last night.
This is a total Cowboy Bob Orton situation going on.
Tampa Bay at Jacksonville. This is the last early game.
Well, we don't know what to expect from the Jags tonight, but I'm going to say Jags by 2.5.
All right, I said Jags by 3, and it's Tampa Bay by 1.
Whoa!
How is that? I mean, both if the Jags pull it out, they're 4-8. Both teams will be 4-8. I don't know. Tampa's quarterback's just as bad.
I think Tampa's awful. They have the worst defense in the league now. Their defense is even worse than the Panthers' defense.
If they're lucky, the Eagles are the Eagles this year, because they'd be the most disappointing team. Right now,
I'd almost rather have the Colts defense, because They lost, ever since they lost McCoy, they have no pass rush at all, and it just doesn't, it seems like the other team can just do anything they want.
And they have no offensive line. It's a disaster.
Yeah. Other than that, they're right back in that thing.
Yeah. Chicago at Denver. Here we go.
Oh. Gus, are you there now?
I'm here.
Hey, my buddy Gus, diehard Broncos fan. He's going to come on and talk Tebow after Sal hangs up. I have the Broncos giving Caleb Haney and the Chicago Bears 6 points.
Oh, wow. You and everyone else love this team too much. It's only 3.5.
What?
3.5, and that's what I got. I had it exactly.
Is Jay Cutler coming back next week?
Gus knows this is a fair line.
It is? Gus, are you insulted by that?
I was thinking 4.5, but if they want to keep disrespecting us, that's fine. Who knows, though? Now, wow. Now with the Favre rumors, that line could move.
Yeah, it could move toward the Broncos.
Does God treat Tebow differently when he's favored, when he's actually expected to win a game? This is going to be an odd thing.
I'm stunned by that. I don't understand that at all. That Bears team, to me, looked like a team that could see the writing on the wall in the second half of that game. And the writing was this: we cannot score points. That was it. Like, Marion Barber's your best skill position guy.
The Broncos do have a history of kicking to Devin Hester, though, so you have to take that into consideration.
Oh, thanks for pointing that out. All right, how many do we have left?
We have five games left.
All right, let's zoom through them.
San Fran and Arizona.
I have the 49ers by 3.5 points.
Wow. You know, I thought this would be way higher. I said 6, and it's 4.
Yeah, that's fair. The Cardinals are good at home. Got to say.
Yeah, Frisky. I guess so.
Frisky at home.
I guess.
Did you see? Did you guys see yesterday the Rams did not cross the 35-yard line?
They didn't? With their own?
San Fran's 35, they never crossed during the entire game yesterday. Yeah. That's pretty good.
San Fran gets up 9-0 and it's over. Like, there's no point in watching their games. They just kicked the field goal. All right, Oakland and Green Bay.
Ooh. Man. Carson just stinks. I'm going to say Green Bay by 11.5, and it's probably higher.
I want to get this one. I was so close. It's 11. We both said 11.5.
Ah. That goes up. That ends at 13, I think.
Gus. I don't know. Yeah.
Hey, Gus.
Yes, sir.
You're not afraid of the Raiders, right? You can beat that team.
Only afraid if Darren McFadden is on the field.
Oh, yeah. He does kill you.
He's had good success against us through the years.
When do you play them again?
Second to last week of the season? No, we're done with them. No, we're done with them. We've split.
Oh, there you go.
They beat us in week one, and then we won.
Well, they can watch you in the playoffs as America's rooting for Tim Tebow. Sal, what's the next
one? Gus, I'm not saying that Tebow's passes are ugly, but...
I have a feeling we're going to cut that one and just keep my reaction...
All right, let me know if you do. I'll use it in some other blog or something.
Please do. All right.
Buffalo at San Diego.
I don't know what to make of this Chargers team. I'm going to say Chargers by 4.5. That feels Vegas zone-y to me.
Yeah, you got it exactly. I said 5.5.
Isn't this the former Cowboys coach battle? North Turner and Chan Gailey getting together?
Oh, yeah.
There could be all kinds of random timeouts called.
I would take either of these guys right now. I would take either.
Sal, you should watch this game with Dave Campo. Three of you. All your favorites.
I hate this. All right, well, now we're out there. Giants and Cowboys. I'm dreading heading out.
I don't think there's ever been a better example of a three-point line. Dallas by 3.
Yeah, I said 4, and it's 3.5.
Oh!
Yeah.
Wow. What do you think? Because of OC and Tuck?
What do I think? What? Well, they always give them an extra point. Well, you think it should be lower?
Yeah, I think that should be a three-point line. You said yourself you're terrified of this game.
Yeah, but they always give them an extra point and whatever. People bet the Cowboys at home. I wouldn't bet him. The smart pick is the Giants on a two-team teaser.
Yeah. Last game.
And Monday, St. Louis at Seattle.
Ugh. Can we flex this?
Oh, you know what? Actually, yeah, ESPN could flex it to next preseason, I think. You know, Jeremy, can you check this? Because I didn't see a line.
Yeah, I got something.
This game makes me want to flex my bowels. I'm going to say Seattle by 6.5.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
6.5 for Seattle.
I said 6.5 also. What do you got, Joe?
6.5.
Oh!
Wow. Not many fantasy titles hinging on this one, I don't think.
Oh, that's true. Who would be the fantasy guy in that game? Like,
maybe
Marshawn
Lynch?
Steven Jackson, maybe? So I won another week.
Yeah, of course. This is getting brutal. You're up 9 weeks to 5. Good thing there's
all right.
Prize.
Give us a plug on something.
I'll give you a couple things. Jimmy Kimmel Live, Christina Applegate tonight, Guy Ritchie. Later in the week, Army Hammer, T-Pain, Jane Fonda, Russell Brand. My Grantland blog Thursday. I'm going tonight. This is not good for you, Simmons, although it's good because I'm betting it, so it won't happen. Vincent Brown, 12-1 first touchdown. Vincent Jackson, 7-1 first touchdown. And Faye Vincent, 500-1. No,
you should parlay that with the over-under of 4.5 glasses of wine for our wives tonight at dinner.
Oh, yeah. We're having a good dinner.
Throw that one in
there. Let me just say one more thing. Our friend Dickie Barrett of the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, his new CD drops tomorrow. I'm going to be cool and say drops.
Yes.
The Magic of Youth. And, you know, the artwork on the cover is pretty good. So for and no other reason, get at that.
All right, we're going to have Dickie on next Monday to discuss that. Hey, last thing, since I have two Mets fans on the phone, you guys are okay with letting Reyes go at $106 million, right?
Yeah, I think so, right, Gus? I mean, they're going to have a lot of empty games on their schedule. All right. He will come to play in 6 years when the contract expires.
Or when the Marlins win the World Series next year, they'll trade him and we can get him back.
Yeah.
They have to have their fire sale. But I understand why you can't match that offer. It's just, it makes me really mad that he's gone.
Right.
You liked watching him.
He was the most exciting player that they've had for the last 5 years, and other than Tom Seaver and Daryl Strawberry, the Mets, he's third on the list of guys who left the Mets in their prime.
Oh. Yeah, that's not a
good list. I never thought of it that way.
You know, I looked at it like Seaver was... At the time, I was 11, so it was like the end of the world. Strawberry was kind of the end of the dynasty that never really was, but, you know, end of that era. And Reyes is kind of the end of the interesting Mets. You know, they underachieved, but at least they were interesting for the last 4 or 5 years. And now it won't be nearly as much. Oh, and he stayed in division, so that's just irritating.
Yeah, that killed us. But you know what? You were down when Claudel Washington was let go and Richie Hebner, and you know we bounced back. We won 65 games next year.
You just mentioned two guys who were good for other teams, came to the Mets and underperformed, and then went on to be good again. Which Reyes will now. Strawberry's like the only guy the Mets have ever had who, when he left, wasn't as good. He had one good year with the Dodgers and then was never really good again. Reyes, despite the injuries, I still think he's going to be great.
Well, it stinks, too, because I like Reyes. I think you probably feel the same way. But now I'm going to have to root for him to be hurt all the time, right?
Yeah, that's just it. I like him. So
yeah.
I won't root for that. But it's just, plus, I mean, your kids, you have children. My 9-year-old, I thought Reyes was going to be his guy forever. You know, it sucks for him. Now he's like, oh, wait, Dad, now I have to root for Ruben Tejada? Yes, you do.
You guys will be fine when Jimmy Rollins signs with the Mets for $70 million for 5 years.
They just right
back in it. The Mets just announced they lost $70 million last year, so they're not going to give Jimmy Rollins $70
million. Is that true?
Yeah.
They lost $70 million?
That's what they claim.
Ugh. That stadium.
No, it's a dark...
Almost just better off keeping the old stadium.
And the more annoying part is that, I understand, fine, rebuild, you got to rebuild. But if Sandy Alderson is going to be masterminding our rebuilding era, when basically he came to the Mets as a favor, he's not going to be here in 2 years. This isn't like a long-term job for him. So he's going to start the rebuilding and then hand it off to Dee Podesta. I don't like where this is headed. It could be a dark era.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a bad 3 or 4 years, for sure.
Well, what do you think is What do you think is the number of years that has to be removed since you guys won a title where you guys become tortured again? Is it 35 years or is it 25?
I think it depends on what happens during that time. The two, I don't call, one of them is a collapse. One of them, I think, was more of a fold than a collapse. I thought the second one wasn't quite as bad, but you throw on.
And also, if you're in a big market and the newspapers every day are telling you how much your team sucks, it's not the same. Like you have to compete every 6 or 7 years, right? When you say.
Yeah, and it's frustrating. If Fred Wilpon, if his dream was to own a team and he loves the Mets and blah, well, this is one of those if you love them, you got to let it go thing. You're killing this team right now by not being able to make it competitive in a large market. So just sell it and get on with your life and let the Mets go back to being at least somebody who can spend some money. Look, they're not a great franchise. We all get that. But he can make it a lot better by letting it go.
Right.
It almost seems like the Mets and the Dodgers are similar in that if they had the right TLC from the right owner, it would be a totally different franchise and a profitable one and a successful one, and like the sky would be the limit. And instead, it's gone the other way for both.
Here's what I think we could do. This is one of the last things we could do. If we signed Tim Tebow as a starting pitcher, and then he gave up like 6 runs an inning, but was like lights out in the ninth inning, like struck on 9 pitches.
Well, we need a closer, so he can. How about he just make him the closer?
Oh yeah.
Because we don't have one of those. We have some starters, but we don't have.
You know, what's great about Tim Tebow is that I could totally talk myself into him being a Major League Baseball closer. If you told me that he threw 88 in college, I'd be in. All right, yeah, I think he can do it. Sal,
I'm happy for you, Gus, because we're Mets fans, and you have to have something to latch on to. The Broncos. I just hope the Ravens don't beat them 36-3 in the first round of the playoffs. So
it's been a blue and orange emotional roller coaster for the last 24 hours.
That's right.
All right,
there you go,
Sal. We'll talk to you on Monday.
All right, take care.
You know what, Gus? I have an idea. Let's give Tebow his own podcast. Let's take this over to a part two. So check out part two of the All Tebow podcast with my buddy Gus on ESPN.com's Pod Center or iTunes coming up now.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at Pod Center at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.